This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Draft Digital Personal Data Protection Rules. The participants are S. Krishnan, Secretary, Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, and Lalima Aneja Dang, Anchor.
Data protection has been a significant issue of debate for the country. Data localization, a bugbear for the technological companies, was removed from the Data Protection Act 2023. And now discussion is abuzz on the draft of the Digital Personal Data Protection Rules 2025. Well, for more on this, we are now joined by Mr. S. Krishnan, Secretary Meiti. Meiti, that is Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology. Welcome, Mr. Krishnan, to Akashvani Studio.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mr. Krishnan, now when we talk of data, what exactly does data entail? Because now everything is digitized these days. Everyone has a smartphone. There are passwords. There's Aadhaar card, PAN card. If you go to e-commerce, there is OTP coming. And then for banks, which have become very streamlined now, their operations, we have the KYC. So what exactly does data entail?
The Act, the Digital Personal Data Protection Act, defines personal data as data which can be personally identified with an individual or in relation to that data. So it's a fairly wide definition, and that is deliberately so, because what is personally identifiable data will vary by context. It is not a fixed definition. It doesn't have a fixed definition in all contexts. You mentioned certain contexts in which it can be used. There is, of course, name and telephone number and date of birth and address. Those kind of things are general. Now, if it is in a medical context or in the context of a hospital, it could be health-related data or health records of an individual. In the educational context, it could be the educational records of an individual. In an e-commerce context, it could be the personal preferences of an individual as to, you know, what they've ordered in the past and so on. So in that sense, it takes on different forms. The personally identifiable data takes on different forms in different contexts, and it would neither be convenient nor will it be complete to actually try and list out all personally identifiable data. It has to be understood in the terms of the context of a particular business or a particular purpose for which the data is being used.
When we talk of data protection, how significant has it become in the current milieu, because everything is digitized and we are moving to, or let's say New India is moving towards a digitized India, and all over the world people are now surprised and pleasantly surprised the way we are handling our UPI transactions. That's just a very small example. So in this whole milieu, how important, how significant is this act which talks about the personal data protection?
I think what we have done in India, and there have been global models which are a little different from each other. In the European Union, for instance, strong restrictions have been placed on the way that data can be collected and the way that data can be used. Whereas in certain other jurisdictions, the restrictions are not so strong and companies are given greater freedom and greater access and the way in which the data itself is used. In the Indian context, I think one thing which has first been identified is that the data principle, that an individual has the rights over personally identifiable data. So in a sense, the rights of individual towards personally identifiable data has been clearly recognized. And companies, institutions, and others who collect the data from that individual are termed as data fiduciaries in the Act. And certain, since there is a fiduciary responsibility, they are holding on to data which belongs to somebody else. Certain duties and obligations have been cast on the data fiduciaries. So this is a different framework or a new framework which has been adopted in the Indian context. And it gives individuals, Indian citizens and individuals residing in India, certain rights over their data. And it also places certain obligations on the data fiduciaries on how that data can be obtained, how it can be retained, and the manner in which it can be used. For all of this, the consent to the data principle has been established as the basic principle on which this whole thing operates. So it's a framework where an individual's data, for instance, my data belongs to me, and the way that I want to have it used by various data fiduciaries, I have control over the way that this data gets used. And if I feel that there is a significant benefit I'm likely to get from allowing my data to be used, I can give the consent to get that data being used in a particular way. Now, equally, it balances the need for innovation. Companies require data, particularly we are talking about the age of artificial intelligence, which is based primarily on a large volume of data. Now, using a lot of this data and for purposes of analysis, for building algorithms, for, you know, studying it, for training models, AI models, etc., results also in a lot of public good. There is innovation which comes out of it, and that innovation is a social good, which also society needs. Therefore, what we are striking here is a balance between the rights of individuals and the need for innovation. That is, we regulate the way the data is used, but at the same time, allow for innovation to happen through technology, and that goes back to benefit the citizen. So that is how our act has been constructed.
Right. Talking about artificial intelligence and this perfect balance between regulation and innovation, is it really possible to ensure this balance? Two major challenges as I see. One is, as you just mentioned, to have the right balance between innovation and regulation for the data fiduciaries. And secondly, India is a huge population. Is the statistics or is this mammoth size, is that a challenge too?
Yes, of course, it's a challenge and it is a concern. And it's an area that we need to be concerned about 100%. I agree with you. India is a large country, huge population. There's a huge volume of personally identifiable data, which is a virtual gold mine. But we have to ensure that the rights of Indians are protected, which is why the law itself is drafted in an extremely simple manner, in a way that can be explained and people can easily understand it, and people can exercise their rights under the law easily. So that is important, ease of using the law. And that is why the drafting has been done in a way that is not confusing. It is not a lot of legalese. It is not a lot of ways in which sometimes legal matters tend to bamboozle or confuse individuals. So deliberately an attempt has been made to keep it very simple. There are a large number of illustrations and examples which are provided in both the Act and the rules so that people can understand the implications, people can understand why particular terms have been used and so on. And using this law as a basis and using the rules as a basis, there is a big duty on the part of both the government and civil society organizations and people who are concerned with public welfare to build the awareness about the law amongst people so that they understand that they have these rights and these protections under the Act. So I think that has been provided for, and at the same time that they should exercise their rights and exercise their functions under the Act in an effective way, in a way that ensures that their interests are both protected and at the same time, social good is promoted. So I think that is a critical element. India's data, the data of Indian citizens, is something which is valuable. The law explicitly recognizes that, and it is something which needs protection and it needs to be handled in an appropriate way.
Right. Let's move on to children. What about personal data of children? Because now NET is available or accessible to all. And even documents are stored in DigiLocker. And the government is fully promoting going digital. Australia, as we know, has banned children accessing NET or restricted social media under 18. How are we going to ensure that personal data of our children is secure?
You see, the whole idea is that, number one, premise in the Digital Personal Data Protection Act is to ensure that all data is used only through consent, right? Through informed consent. And as we are well aware, informed consent can be given only by a person who has attained the age of majority. Children, it is believed, till such time that they attain the age of majority, cannot give informed consent to a number of decisions. And hence, the Act recognizes this principle and says that any data which relates to a child can be obtained or can be processed or can be used only with parental consent. So the consent has to be provided either by the parent or the guardian or the lawful guardian of the child. I think that is the principle which the Act establishes, right?
Right.
Now, it's not an outright ban, as you mentioned, the Australian case on allowing children access to social media or their using the data. It is a conditional access based on parental consent. That is the difference. Because in the Indian context, it is also important to recognize that given our vast geography, given the fact that children learn many things through access to social media or even to digital means, including, you know, emails and various other requirements where they have to access online classes, there could be a number of positive and constructive uses of digital means, particularly in education and healthcare. And that is something to which children also need access. But it needs to be regulated and it needs to be done with adequate consent from the parents. So that is a framework in which the Indian law, including the Data Protection Act and the rules, have been operationalized.
Right. Mr. Krishnan, when we talk about tech companies trying to regulate and trying to be streamlining their processes so that the citizens' data is protected, are we going to give a timeline to the industry to tighten itself to protect the data? And are the companies, or fiduciaries as we call them, data fiduciaries, are they geared up for that? If we give them, let's say, 2 years or 3 years timeline, 2 years is what the government has in mind at the moment.
I think the point is that, yes, some changes, technological changes will be required, some technical tweaks to various programs that they currently use may be required to enable full compliance with the requirements of the Act and the rules. Undoubtedly, this is needed. So a reasonable time frame needs to be provided to the companies in order to enable them to fully operationalize the various provisions of the Act. Mm-hmm. The government recognizes that. At the same time, this time period has to be reasonable. By extending it to a very long period like 3 years or longer and so on will defeat the whole purpose of the Act. So we have to strike a balance there again between the need to enforce the rights of the data principles to enabling the data fiduciaries to make all the relevant technical changes. And that is a framework within which the government is providing some time for the companies and all the data fiduciaries to put in place appropriate mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Krishnan, in the cyberspace, cross-border leakage of data is very much possible. Two questions. A, is it possible to have a kind of data localization? Is it possible? And secondly, if breach happens, are we going to be imposing fines on the data companies?
Now, to answer the first question, the Data Protection Act does not automatically require data localization, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In fact, it does not sort of, it specifically allows data to go out beyond the borders, but indicates that if the regulators in a particular area, say the financial area or the telecommunication area or the medical health records area or education space, if the regulators require that the data should be maintained within the country, then such restrictions can be imposed. That is the way that the Act operates. In addition, there could be certain other areas of concern, etc., certain security and other considerations on which data shouldn't necessarily flow out of the country, for which there could be some restrictions which can be placed by the central government. So these provisions have been made in the rules. The main provision, of course, is in the Act. So this is where we have to strike again a balance. When data, large-scale data is available and the data is not necessarily of a nature which has to be stored within the country for various other reasons, there could potentially be some of that data which is stored outside. And that again can be used by various technology and other companies for analysis and other purposes, subject to proper consent and everything else, so that some innovation develops. So to that extent, yes, we have not required that there should be 100% data localization. But at the same time, there is space in certain areas where the sectoral regulator believes that data localization is needed or a copy of the data needs to be maintained within the country. There is a provision to actually require that to happen. So that is the way in which we strike that balance. Now, as far as fines are concerned, if there are violations, if there are breaches, etc., there are certain obligations which are placed under the Act. The Act does not have any criminal penalties. It does not prescribe terms of imprisonment for any of the offences. It has only civil punishments, civil penalties, and the fines can extend up to 250 crore rupees.
So the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology has invited comments from the public and stakeholders till the 18th of this month through the MyGov platform, in line with the government's commitment to adopt an inclusive approach to lawmaking. So all our listeners who think they can contribute to this, they must go to the MyGov platform and give their comments on the draft of the Act. Thank you, Mr. Krishnan, for all your views and reviews on this draft of the Act and sparing your precious time to be with us.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on draft digital personal data protection rules. The participants were S. Krishnan, Secretary, Minister of Electronics and Information Technology, and Lalima Aneja Dang, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.